We want you to take your Bibles or your notes, and we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be looking into verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3, the dangers of false teachers. Many people are really very silly. They seem to have no sense. Some do not seem to know enough even to come in out of the rain. Some seem to think that they can play around with fire and not get burned. But when it comes to theological matters, they really show their foolishness. One of the craziest notions that people have is that it really does not matter what you believe as long as you sincerely believe it. Now, if you'll stop and think about that for just a second or two, you'll have to conclude that this is just plain crazy. If you will ask yourself how many people judge a pastor or an evangelist, even in fundamental circles, you'll be forced to conclude that all too often biblical criteria are not used. They look at his appearance. They look at his training. Did he attend seminary? They look at his age. Is he friendly? Does he attend the ladies' aid meetings? Does he spend all his time visiting or counseling? Is he diplomatic? Is he the grandfatherly type who would never hurt so much as a fly? Does he make people feel comfortable in church? Is he politically correct? Is he entertaining? Does he just preach up a storm but really not say anything? When I came to this area, and I mean to the Shelby area, I was told that there's a lot of Baptist churches where there's a lot of thunder and lightning, but no rain. Is he like a baby who does a lot of screaming but has no content? A real Bible preaching pastor is a different breed. He doesn't worry about academic credentials. He is concerned about performance. He's concerned about whether a man teaches the Word of God faithfully and accurately. A real Bible-believing pastor doesn't get terribly excited about appearance, although he ought to try to do the most with what he has. A real Bible-believing pastor is convicted that he must speak out against sin and expose it. He is militant against sin. He's not concerned about entertaining his people. He preaches the Word of God and lets the chips fall where they may. He desires to see people convicted of sin so that they might be saved, because he believes in an eternal hell which will be filled with people who don't have to go there. He preaches hard against sin in the lives of believers, because he wants his people to straighten their lives out with the Lord. In 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, we see some things the scriptures have to say regarding false teachers. Peter advises his readers that false teachers will come just as false prophets came in Old Testament times. They will secretly sneak in their destructive heresies and will even deny Christ who provided for their salvation. As a consequence, they will bring swift destruction on themselves. Meanwhile, they will lead many into immorality, and they will bring the Lord's work into disrepute. They will be characterized by covetousness and through words that have been specially molded to suit their own ends. They will attempt to make merchandise of believers. God, however, will judge them. We read in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We see that false teachers are dangerous because their teaching will lead people astray. They will be found in New Testament times just as false prophets were found in Old Testament times. In the first part of 2 Peter 2:1, we read, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Although Peter desired to remind his readers of some spiritual truths, he knew that Satan will be attempting to confuse these same believers. For this reason, Satan had sent false prophets in the past, and in the future, he will send false teachers. But indicates that Peter's making a mild shift in thinking from emphasizing some of the truths of the Christian faith to a warning about false teachers who will be coming. "There were also false prophets among the people," suggests that during the time that prophecy came, when holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that's the Old Testament, there were also false prophets. These were people who claimed to be prophets, but whose messages did not come from God. They may have been led by Satan or some demon, or they might have dreamed up their prophecies on their own. Even as is as also. Just as there were false prophets among the people, there shall be false teachers among you. Shall be as predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. There's no doubt about it, and it's only a matter of time before it happens. They are false teachers in that they teach things that are false rather than the truth. These false teachers shall be among you, meaning among believers. They may even portray themselves as believers, and it is important that they be recognized as false teachers. It's interesting that Peter used the term false teachers for those coming in the future rather than false prophets. Could it be because he knew that the gift of prophecy would cease with the completion of the New Testament in a few years, as Paul had indicated in 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10? Certainly, God, the Holy Spirit, who directed Peter in writing this epistle, knew this. So how can you spot a false teacher? Good question. We need to know the answer to that. We read something about this sort of thing in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you," it means is testing you, "to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave," meaning hold fast unto him. "And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." We also read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, "Now the Spirit," of course that's the Holy Spirit, "speaketh expressly," meaning explicitly, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to," meaning paying attention to, "seducing spirits," paying attention to deceiving spirits, "and doctrines of devils." That's not teaching about demons, but teaching which comes from demons, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats," meaning from foods, "which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused," meaning rejected, "if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified," meaning made holy or consecrated, "by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister," meaning servant of Jesus Christ, "nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained," meaning the good doctrine or teaching that you have followed. And then we read about the same subject in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, which Don Tunstall has taught recently. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." You have to understand, he is writing regarding a specific problem called Gnosticism, which taught that Jesus was not really human. He was just a spirit. He just appeared to be a man. Of course, that gets you into trouble when it comes to how was a spirit crucified and shedding his blood on the cross. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You can spot a false teacher because his teaching will not agree with the teaching of the Bible. Doesn't matter how sharp he appears. It doesn't matter how handsome he is. It doesn't matter how much academic training he has. If he's teaching things that disagree with the Bible, he is a false teacher. However, in order for you to know that he's teaching things that are contrary to what the Bible said, you need to know what the Bible says in order to be able to do this. If someone teaches things which are contrary to what the Bible teaches, he is a false teacher. Doesn't matter how handsome he is, how trained he is, how entertaining he is, how grandfatherly he is. If he's teaching things that disagree with the Bible, he's a false teacher. If you don't know your Bible, you may fall victim to his false teaching. So get to know your Bible. Compare what is said in the pulpit ministry with what the Bible says. It needs to agree with it, okay? Not disagree. We see that false teachers are dangerous because they will secretly sneak in their false teachings, which means they know what they're doing, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Who refers to the false teachers, and is such ones who? Thus calling attention to their quality as those who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Privily shall bring in, suggests will secretly or maliciously bring in. And the Greek text indicates that this is predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. There's no doubt about it, absolutely no doubt about its occurring, and it has occurred for centuries. Why do you think we have so many other religious groups around the world? Next, we see that false teachers are dangerous because they will teach damnable heresies, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies are heresies, those are false teachings, which produce destruction or ruin. And heresies are opinions or dogmas which are held, but which are contrary to the truth as taught in the Bible, which tend to promote divisions or dissensions. These damnable heresies, therefore, are false teachings which result in an individual's failure to trust Christ as his Savior, and which ultimately lead to eternal ruin in hell. That doesn't sound good at all, does it? The word damnable is used 4 times in this passage, although translated 3 different ways, but it means the same thing all 4 times. It means waste or ruin when applied to things, but damnation, destruction, or perdition when used of persons, and signifies their spiritual and eternal damnation, perdition, or destruction in the lake of fire. Now, these aren't my words. These are Peter's words as directed by God the Holy Spirit. It is used in verse 1 in the phrase damnable heresies, which are heretical or divisive teachings that produce destruction or perdition, meaning in hell. It is also used in verse 1 in the phrase swift destruction, which speaks of eternal loss or ruin in hell. It is used a 3rd time in verse 2 in the phrase pernicious ways, which speaks of their ways which produce destruction or perdition. And it's used a 4th time in verse 3 in the phrase, their damnation slumbereth not, which implies that their destruction in hell will be coming soon. Doesn't sound at all good, does it? In addition, we see that false teachers are dangerous because they will deny the Lord that bought them. Remember, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and in his death on the cross, he bought you and me and everybody else. When I buy something, it's mine. When he bought us, he bought everyone. How could we possibly reject him? Amen. But people do. Even denying the Lord bought them. This is the supreme heresy of these false teachers. Even emphasizes the phrase which follows it as being the supreme heresy. It might instead suggest an even stronger emphatic in the sense of indeed, in fact, or certainly. Denying suggests repudiating or disowning. Denying the Lord, where the Lord is not the word ordinarily used to refer to Christ. Instead, it is the word from which we derive our English term despot, and means Lord, Master, or owner, and someone who suggests, who possesses supreme authority. The reason he possesses supreme authority over them is that he bought them. And this clearly indicates that the Lord in this verse is Christ. Phrases in this context meaning through the rest of chapter 2, such as bring upon themselves swift destruction, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. The Lord knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, and the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. All of these suggest that these false teachers are unsaved people, yet the Lord bought them in spite of the fact that they are unbelievers. Just as he bought all others when he died on the cross, paying for the sins of the whole world. Bought suggests purchased. He paid the price for all the sins of all humanity with his blood. As a consequence, they belong to him, even though they have rejected him. There is no limited atonement here, nor is there any loss of salvation. These false teachers were never saved in the first place. There is no evidence of any change in their natures. In fact, the opposite is true. There is evidence that there never was a change in their natures, as verse 22 indicates, the dog that is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Inasmuch as these false teachers are unsaved persons, this phrase is certainly hard on the Calvinist teaching of a limited atonement. Calvinism teaches that Christ died only for the elect. They believe in a limited atonement. That is, that his death paid only for the sins of certain people referred to as the elect. However, the Bible is clear that Christ died for everyone, whether they are elect or not. And the only way in which the atonement is limited is that it's limited in its application to those who believe the gospel. This is because the atonement is not applied to unbelievers. The effect of the atonement, the effect of Christ dying on the cross and paying for your sins, is applied to the individual at the instant he believes the gospel message. But if somebody never believes the gospel message, it's never applied to him. Furthermore, we see that false teachers are dangerous because they bring upon themselves swift destruction. It implies that their destruction in hell is coming soon. And bring upon themselves swift destruction indicates the end result which these false teachers can expect. Destruction is the same word translated destructive earlier in this verse, and implies eternal ruin or eternal loss. Swift means coming soon or imminent. They will soon find themselves in eternal hell, and they will have brought it on themselves. Moreover, we see that the false teachers are dangerous because they will lead many into damnation or destruction in hell. The first part of 2 Peter 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Unfortunately, the false teachers will involve others in their heresies, and introduces a continuation of the thought of verse 1. Many is unspecified, but it's a significant number of people. What many shall follow is their pernicious ways or their destructions. Shall follow is predictive of something which will definitely occur in the future and means will follow after or will obey. Their pernicious ways uses the same word translated damnable and destruction in verse 1. The fact that it is plural in verse 2 suggests that Peter intends it to mean their destructive heresies mentioned in verse 1, as is indicated by the fact that their ways are described as pernicious, which implies injurious or destructive. What a terrible thing it is for someone to follow a false teacher blindly all the way to hell. It reminds me of a cartoon I saw a long time ago of someone driving a car in a very thick fog and following the only thing he could see, the taillights on the car ahead of him. All of a sudden, the car stopped, so the driver of the car following called out, "Why did you stop?" The driver of the car that stopped responded, "Because I'm in my garage." Look around you. Where do you think the Roman Catholics, the liberal Protestants, the liberal Baptists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the other cults, as well as the Muslims and Buddhists, are leading people? It's not to heaven. We see that false teachers are dangerous because they will bring slander upon the Lord's work, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. By reason of whom is because of whom, or on account of whom, where whom refers to the false teachers. The way of truth is literally the way of the truth. In the Greek text, "the" before truth indicates that it is the truth of Christianity and the Christian life. The way of the truth shall be evil spoken of is a word which, when used of God or of the things of God, means will be blasphemed. When used of men or other things, however, it means will be defamed or will be reviled. The tense and mood of "shall be evil spoken of" indicates that it is predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. These false teachers, by their lives as well as by their false teachings, will bring a bad reputation upon Christianity before the unsaved. As a consequence, other people will speak evil of the truth of Christianity as a whole. You see, unsaved people may not distinguish one religious group from another. Do you ever get tired of Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door, or the Mormons? Some independent Baptists have also done a lot of door knocking. People in their spiritual ignorance may not know the difference. Religious groups are always hassling people for money, and it's an unfortunate thing, but the unsaved crowd recognizes that. Something else we see in verse 3, the first part of it, is that false teachers are dangerous because they will be characterized by covetousness, and through covetousness shall they make merchandise of you. And indicates a continuation of the thought of verse 2. It might instead be used in an emphatic sense, in the sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. Through covetousness suggests by means of covetousness, or perhaps because of covetousness. Covetousness is used in its ordinary sense as greediness, avarice, or insatiableness. They are greedy. There's a lot of money to be had in religion. In addition, we see that false teachers are dangerous because they use false words. Shall they speak with feigned words? With feigned words tells how they will make merchandise of people. Feigned means fabricated, made up, or false. It means they are liars. They're not speaking the truth. Words is used in the sense of assertions, declarations, or speeches. We furthermore see that false teachers are dangerous because they will make merchandise of believers. Shall they make merchandise of you? It means they will exploit you. Its tense and mood indicate that this is something which will definitely happen in the future. You, as the believers to whom Peter is writing and whom these false teachers will attempt to exploit, they're going to try to get rich from believers. Although we have seen that false teachers are dangerous, we also see that false teachers will be judged by God, whose judgment, now of a long time, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Whose judgment, now of a long time, lingereth not, suggests that it will not be long before these false teachers are judged. Whose refers to the false teachers who are being described throughout this chapter? Judgment is judicial verdict, and in the unfavorable sense demanded by this context suggests condemnation. It is sometimes used of the sentence of condemnation, the condemnation, or the punishment of itself, the punishment itself. It's speaking about eternal hell. Of a long time is from a long ago, or from for a long time, lingereth not. It means that it's not idle or not weary, and it implies that their judgment has been on its way. It is being prepared and will soon be here. And their damnation slumbereth not is another way of saying the same thing. It's an example of something we call Hebrew parallelism. Proverbs is full of that, which means saying the same thing in two or more ways, and indicates a continuation of the thought of the previous phrase. It may instead be emphatic and understood in the sense of indeed, certainly, verily, in fact, or yea. There is parallel to whose, and refers to these false teachers under discussion. Damnation is the fourth time in this chapter this same word is used. It's translated damnable and destruction in verse 1 and pernicious ways in verse 2 and speaks of destruction or ruin in hell. Slumbereth not means is not sleepy. That their damnation slumbereth not implies that it's on its way and will soon be here. So, as I draw this to a close, I ask you, could you spot a false teacher if one were staring you in the face? You may have to someday. It's easy to spot one when he's the pastor of a liberal church in your area or a cultist. But might you ever find them in fundamental churches like ours? Unfortunately, the answer to that is yes. Take note of a couple of passages in the Bible which answer this question. Acts 20, 28 through 31. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's the job of the pastor, to pay attention to himself and to all the congregation, to feed the church of God as the overseer of that church. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They come in from the outside. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Sometimes they rise up from the middle of the congregation. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. How do we avoid the false teachers? By knowing the scriptures and not allowing anything false to be taught in our church. 1 John 2, 18 through 23 and verse 26. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. It's speaking of a group of Gnostics who had infiltrated the church. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The way that's translated sounds like some of them could have been of us. But that's not the meaning. It's that they all were not of us, or that all of them were none of us, or maybe we should say that none of them were of us. But ye have an unction, meaning an anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Not everybody believes that Jesus is God the Son. Their heresy is dangerous. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And then in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. People were trying to corrupt the believers. There are false teachers, and we must be wary of them. You will spot them when you compare their statements and practices with the Word of God. So, know the Word of God and be careful to avoid these false teachers and their teaching. Romans 16, 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, meaning the teaching, which ye have learned, and avoid them. Watch out for false teachers. You'll spot them because they will teach things that are not scriptural. We don't ever want that kind to be a part of our ministry, and we want to teach the truth, whether people want the truth or whether they'd rather have the entertainment from the false teacher. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we can study this very pointed portion of Scripture. Help our people to love thee with all their hearts, to live faithfully for thee, to study their Bibles and seek to avoid false teaching and false teachers. In Jesus' name, amen.